Okay. Yeah, I guess. Huh? Oh. Apparently, I was supposed to do announcements. I don't like doing it. Sorry. That's why we print a piece of paper. All right, all right. This Tuesday, October newsletter info is due to Miss Vicky. This coming Saturday, 9:24, Lady Strength and Training will meet here from 9:30 to 11 a.m. Bait here at the church. We will be worshiping for a while and then enjoying and enter into worship. We will fellowship for a while and enter into worship and receive a timely word from our own Cheryl Haycock. Girls, you don't want to miss this. Also, next Sunday's Compassion Cafe be open from 9:30 to 10:15 in the conference room. Declare and decree October 18th, 2022, there is a goal to have the entire Bible read and declared over Morrow County in 52 portions. Please see the sign-up sheet on the back table if you are interested in participating and reading out loud one of the 52 portions. An example is attached to the sign-up sheet. You can declare your portion anytime that day between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. at home or wherever in Morrow County you'd like to. Thank you for considering this. All right. Okay. So yes, the word, decreeing the word, declaring God's word over our county. Because this is happening in all 88 counties, by the way. That was the goal, is to get it done in all 88 counties. To have the word of God on the same day between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. declared over the state of Ohio. Yeah, it depends on your passage. So yeah, it could take you a little bit. So that's why you may need to even split it up a little bit. All right, so... Well, I tell you what, we got Angela and I and Phil and Cheryl, we took 2 days off and just went and did nothing. Sometimes you just got to do nothing, you know? And when I say we did nothing, we didn't do anything work-related. That's the hard thing. You know, normally I take 4 days to unwind and forget about work and forget all the things I got to do and getting up until Thursday evening, even at 9 o'clock at night, I was still working, trying to get stuff that had to be taken care of, and boy, I tell you what, it was a good refreshing time. But we went to some place this weekend that I know if you're a history buff, you'd love it, and I think it's pretty cool. It was called Chateau de Roche. It means House of the Rock. And it is a medieval-styled castle built starting in 1929, and I think they're still kind of working on it a little bit, but didn't get finished until late 80s or even the 90s. And the gentleman who started this thing, he was born in 1890, went off to World War I, didn't like the impersonal issue with long-range death, with artillery and... shooting people from afar. He preferred up close and personal. So he became a medic. And while he was over there, at one point, he was declared legally dead. 6 months later, he was declared legally alive because he was sick. And anyhow, long story short on some of that, he studied, he stayed over in France for a while, and he studied architecture. And he... By the time he died, he held 7 doctorates, 4 of them in engineering. So that was pretty good. And he died at 91, by the way. And he started building this castle. He bought 2 plots of land down by the Little Miami River in southern Ohio. And every day he would haul up 4 buckets, 2 5-gallon buckets, 4 of them, that weighed 65 pounds each. He hauled them up from the river full of rocks and pile them up. And I forget how many thousands of trips they said he had accrued and how many thousands of stones. But when you're only when the stones are this thick, that's a lot of rock to build a castle. And when he couldn't keep pulling the rocks out because one thing or another, he would make bricks out of concrete using milk cartons, which was pretty cool. You really couldn't tell that they were there. But anyhow, as we're walking around to this thing, and by the way, he started this, and he was always a medievalist. He loved the stories of the medieval times, but he was teaching his Sunday school about the knights. And that point on, I believe he became a Boy Scout leader even, and so he's got this whole thing, had this whole thing down there. And guys would come, they'd be knighted, and they'd help build the castle. And when he retired in 1955, he moved into the castle, which is pretty cool considering he has this dome built in his bedroom that is just stacked rock on top of each other. And engineers came and saw it, and they said, it'll never stand. It'll cave in a week. It won't stand. Well, like I said, he moved in it in 1955, and it's still there, and I think he did it in the 20s. Or maybe not even quite the 20s, but he did it quite a few years before. So it's been standing for a few years. He slept under it every night, so, which is really awesome. Sleep in a castle with... But as we were walking around that, I began looking and paying attention to things. We learned some things about the video. You know, I thought, well, yeah, I mean, it's rock, but I'm thinking, okay, today's standards, steps have to be even, right? See, I got reprimanded for this step by the state building. Oh, that's not legal. Well, no kidding. It's not even, but my opinion is if you can't lift your foot 3 inches, you don't need to be climbing these steps. These are 8. And today's code, you can't vary more than 0.5 inch on your steps. But these steps in this castle were not even close to 0.5 inch. Some of them were 18 inches. Some of them were 6 inches. And they varied. You know, if you watch like the Three Musketeers, the movies, all the movies today, you know, these musketeers and the knights and all these people, they go running full force through the buildings, big wide hallways and stuff. And that was not true. Because a castle, a fortification of this nature, was built to protect the people inside. And so the steps were intentionally cut uneven. So that if an enemy did break in and he went running, he got used to that 18-inch step, and then all of a sudden there's a 6-inch step, you got a foot of air, and guess what happens? You're on your face on a step. And we're not talking these nice 3-4 foot wide stairwells. We're talking stairwells that were this wide. And if those turned, they didn't have full steps. They were tapered. So you had to walk the outside. So it was strategic. Everything about it was strategic. The little tiny windows. Well, you know, they didn't have all the stuff we had. Well, they didn't have glass at all then. So they were just wide open. But you would think if you live in a stone house that, you know, airflow would be a good thing. Well, not when it's a fortification. You don't want great big windows. You want skinny windows. And in this one, he just had little skinny windows. They had to make every one of them. They were only that wide. You open them up, they did have good circulation. It let air through. But that wasn't the purpose of those skinny windows. See, those skinny windows were like that because the archers could stand inside, and they only had that wide of an area that they could be shot from outside. Now, a lot of castles that you'll see in Europe, they will have crosses as windows. This was not a religious thing. Contrary to all the people, oh, they were just so religious, they put crosses in it. No, they had crossbows. And a crossbow needed to sit this way. So they could stick that crossbow outside the edge of that window, and they could shoot through the window and shoot their enemy. They had their battlement placements on top. They could hide behind those stones, jump out. You see that a lot in the movies, right? They jump out. they would pour things, throw rocks, pour hot, I think he said lead, you got tar, oil, on the enemy, trying to break down your door. The door was probably the weakest point on the castle, because I don't know how thick his walls were, but I think they were about that thick. And that was just stacked stone. But you see, the door, I never realized this until I started thinking about it. I was like, well, yeah, I see those doors. Why were they built like that? I mean, I get his doors were three layers thick. And no two pieces side by side ran in the same direction. You can't hit it with an axe and just go through it. An arrow isn't going through it. Oh, and his doors were made out of pine. The old ones would have been made out of oak. You weren't going through that door easy. If you chopped through a door, you were rotating guys chopping because you were wearing them out. And I can't remember how many doors he had, but they had 2,500 nails in all the doors. And even a little piece of wood this big would have had six nails in it. And they just kept doing that so that the door did not split. It's easy to split our doors today. Wood grain runs all in the same direction because we want it to be pretty. Well, see, back then they found a way to make it protective and unique. And I think the unique is as pretty as the standard. I like knots in my wood. Today, oh no, we got to have perfectly... Man, give me the knots. That's where the grains do weird things. Give me the injuries to the wood. That's where you'll find the beautiful wood. And they knew all that, and they'd incorporate that. And as we were walking around, I was like, Lord, this is just pretty doggone cool, man. Nah, there's no way I'm going to go running up and down these steps because I'm not going to recover. The steps are stone. The walkways are stone. Everything is stone. It's going to hurt. And then as I'm talking with Phil, and I'm running my mouth, that I heard in the back of my head the song by Cutlass. It came out in the late 80s, early 2000s, You Are My Strong Tower. They played it on K-Love for a while. You are my strong tower, fortress when I'm weak. See, we look at these things, we're like, oh, I wouldn't want to live there. Why not? You couldn't burn the building down. You could burn the door, it'd take it a while. Oh, and here was something else. I forgot about the doors. This was really cool. You know, the doors were three-piece doors. You had your, what they call them, Dutch door, where the top swings away separately, so you got a door right about here. And then you could bolt that shut, shut the bottom part, and there was a little door in the middle of the door, this big. And it was intentional. First off, if people came at night, you could control how fast they were coming in on you. And if it was an enemy coming through the door, you know, if it's friendly, they'll announce themselves, right? Hey, yo, Joe, I'm at your door. Don't shoot. Well, anybody ever heard the term sticking your neck out? Well, see, that's kind of where it came from. You open that door and you had to stick your neck through the hole first to get through it. And if you were an enemy, the guy on the other side of the door had a broadsword and he took your head off because you weren't supposed to be there. So this castle is a real fortification. And as I was watching this and I was realizing how good God is and how he is a refuge to us. The things that he does, we don't even think about. Should I turn my thing on? Do I need to do this if it'll...
I don't know. I think the computer's dying.
Uh-oh. Well, I'll give her a minute. But as these fortifications developed over time, they figured out things. They worked. You know, eventually they started putting moats around them. There's a castle in Sussex, England that has a moat around it, and it was for protection. But then moats became a status symbol. Not because they needed it, because they thought it made them look good. When we are having trouble, has anybody had a rough couple days at any time in the last month? Okay, pretty much everybody's had a day or two. I mean, it might have been yesterday, especially if you were Toledo. What they got paid to play that game, it was worth it for them. But I want to get to this. Yes, thank you. We're good. My whiz. As I was singing, I was like, okay, God. I'm pretty sure that's from Psalm 91. We've talked about Psalm 91 before. Now start thinking about Psalm 91 in the aspect of what I just told you. I was talking to Miss Brenda and Joe and Faye this morning. Well, how many rooms were in it? Well, I lost track of the rooms because here's the truth. There were only a handful of big rooms. Most of them were small rooms. Small doors. The hall where the knights would meet, the dinner hall, that was big. The hall where the knights met was big. His bedroom was decent sized. Kitchenette, or the bathroom, I kid you not, was from the back of the chairs to here big. Stool, sink, and a shower. That was it. And the hole for the shower was only that wide, so you had to turn sideways to slide in. So getting soaped up on the outside would actually be a good thing. But there was no real big places in it. They did not. One of the other big rooms was a chapel. And hand-carved in the wall was the Ten Commandments. Now, they do have knights. They call them the Knights of the Golden Trail. You can actually become a knight, but you have to do duty down there as well. You have to... There's a knight there 24/7, 365. Keep people from breaking in. To tell you how bad people want to break in, back in the early 30s, somebody tried to break in on him. He popped them with birdshot. They ran away. And then in the 70s, the man is well into his 80s. Three guys decided to break in on him. Beat him up, broke his leg, took a shotgun, took a bunch of things. And what did he have to say about it? He said, just goes to show, no matter what the time, they're still scoundrels. So they now have a knight that stays there all the time. Somebody's guarding it at all times. But he built all of this because he was enamored by the architecture of it. And I can see that. But everything had a purpose. And when you started learning the purposes, some of this starts to make sense. So Psalm 91:1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. See, the secret place, this is because we get in there and we start talking about wings and feathers. We instantly start thinking, well, he's under, you know, the secret place isn't. No. The secret places were the hidden places inside that castle that you could not just see. I told Angela, I said, oh my goodness, Carter would have a ball running around in here. There were little passageways this tall, even though it's right next to a full-size passageway, but it was there. So if there was a problem, you could go around. And he had passageways here and there. And the one stair, I mean, it wasn't but about that wide. And if you didn't know where it went, you might step into the wrong area. But there was little rooms. Those were the secret places. They were protected. If you didn't know they were there, you might not have ever went to them. And so when David is saying, he who dwells in the secret places of the Most High, he's dwelling in God, his fortress. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Do you really trust God as your fortress? Let's say we're back in the day of bows and arrows and crossbows. No black powder. About 1300s is when the black powder really started rocking their world, when they started figuring out cannons, and then these rock fortresses were no longer as susceptible, easy to stay in. But would you feel more comfortable in something like that if people came across and what they had were some spears and some bows and arrows? I would. I'd feel much more secure in it than I would, you know, a modern house built with white pine 2x4 that was grown in 10 years. That if a good strong wind comes, could lift the house up off the foundation. I don't know, ain't talking tornado. The fortress is someplace we put our trust. Where's your trust put? Today. Do you have your trust in our armies? I hope not. I'll be honest with you. The sad state, I'm reading articles from different people and the things I've seen. The Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist is tearing down our armies, our military in this country. Our readiness is not what it should be. We have people selling secrets online. Freedom of information, man. No, there's some things that should remain secret. Some things I don't want to know. Is your trust in our healthcare system? You better not be. Not after the last 2 years if you're paying attention. Our healthcare system's what did this. We were talking about COVID. COVID was an animal disease, and it jumped. How did it do that? We did it. And then we create something that, whether you like it or not, is having problems. And that's why I pray God's mercy. But we are in a time. How about our financial system? Do you really trust it? You do realize we went away from gold. We used to give people gold and silver and copper coins, right? Then we decided to paper with somebody's face on it with a promise that we'll pay you. We'll pay you gold if you bring this in. Now we're with dollar bills printed by the masses. Oh, the economy's down. Let's print more. We need more cash. Well, we just keep devaluing what we have. You do realize we are pretty much cashless. We've been cashless. Everybody's, I'm just not going that card thing. You know, it's cashless. Your cash is worthless in reality. So where's your trust? Proverbs 14:26 says, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of God. It's not just the you know, we talk about terrible trembling. It's such a reverence of honor. Just like I remember the first time I got to meet the Commandant of the Marine Corps, the top man in the Marine. He's the top Marine. 40 years of service. That's a lot. And he was only yay tall. 4-star general. And I remember all of us. I mean, it didn't matter if you were 4'11" or 6'5". That man walked by, you popped to attention, and you saluted. You did the honor. And then later on, in later years, we came back from Texas 1 year, and we were down in Columbus, and I was walking up the ramp, and I looked up and I told him, I said, "That's General Gray, my commandant." She's like, "Well, go say something." And he's standing there just in a little green zipper thing, and had four stars embroidered across his chest. And he's standing there by the bathrooms. And I started introducing myself this far away. You never know. I mean, old Marine, new Marine, doesn't matter. They're still Marines. You approach them too quick, you might end up hurt. And I go up to him and I said, "General Gray, sir." And he stuck out his hand. I just said, "It was a pleasure serving under you." We didn't get a picture. Yeah. But you know what I found to be truly awesome? It was the confidence I had at getting up to him. I'd met him before. I mean, obviously he wouldn't remember. It had been 20 years. He'd met thousands and thousands of Marines. But the confidence that I had now to approach him. You know, the Bible says to approach God with confidence. It was a confidence knowing that, one, we're on the same playing field now. I'll still call you general. I'll still give you that respect. But we're still private civilians now. But I might have done it even if I was active duty, because it was such an honor to meet him. And see, I knew him just a little. I knew all his personality. I knew his poster. I even had one at one time that said, "I'm looking for warriors to follow me. Jesus said, come follow me." I can approach Jesus. I can approach God with that same confidence. And I can put my trust in him, knowing that when the enemy comes and the enemy's going to come, it's not a matter of if the enemy comes, it's a matter of when the enemy comes, right? And the enemy doesn't hit everybody the same. There is strong confidence. Fear is also knowing. I know my God. I know my God is stronger than any antichrist spirit that is in this world right now. I'm not worried about 24. How about if I get through 23 first? I'm not worried about 2050. Just not doing it. It's not going to do me any good to worry about things. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. Well, what are we going to wear? Well, if I get boiled down to one pair of jeans and one shirt, I guess that's what I'm wearing. What are we going to eat? Whatever I can find. You know how many people have become so picky? It's pickiness. It's pettiness. Trust me, when you're hungry, you'll eat a road apple. Those of you, anybody not in here not know what a road apple is? Okay. You'd eat roadkill. You would. I know what it looks like, but if you're so starving, I'm not eating a possum. I had a gunny that used to say, "Boy, you get you a good clean raccoon, get you a young one." Same thing with groundhogs. I imagine, I mean, they just eat grasses and beans and, yeah, I mean, they, but you got to get a young one. Oh, I just can't. I've had it. I don't want to try it again because it was roadkill, and there's something you need to know about roadkill. You can't eat stuff that the guts have touched. Where's your trust in? Is your trust in God? Is your trust in God such as Elijah, who had ravens bring him bread every day? You need to understand something about ravens. You want a good look at them? Watch them on the side of the road eating the possum that you won't touch. And they're bringing you food. in the same mouth. See, he wasn't that picky. He ate the bread with thankfulness and goodness, and God took care of him. See, the fortress in the natural realm, there's nowhere to fall back to. You stand, you live and you die right there. There is no falling back. And if the enemy comes in and overpowers you, you have nowhere to go. You either become a slave or you die. And understand, your enemy is not interested about just making you a slave. Your enemy wants to kill you. So, we need to truly understand God. Now, everything I just taught you about the natural castle that we saw, transform that into a spiritual building around you. And then understand, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. The secret places, by the way, were down low. Entrance wasn't quite as grand. What's down there? I'm dwelling in a secret place. The hidden place. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm child of the king. I won't be up there on the top. You know, when the fortress is under siege, my butt wants to be where I'm safe. Amen? Even if I'm fighting, I want to be where I'm safe. We still teach the same principles in combat today. Get behind something. Get protection. He who dwells in that secret place, God will be his refuge. In other words, because listen, you can't live in a castle, could you? You got to get outside the castle sometime. The enemy's not inside the castle, so the enemy's outside the castle. You got to go out where the enemy's at. So you now have to go out. So understanding that when you go out every day, when you go to work, when you go to the grocery store, when you go shopping, you pick up your kids, whatever it is you're doing, understand that you are walking. If you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, and you fear God. Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not E equals MC squared. That's not the beginning of wisdom, it's knowledge. It's high knowledge. Knowledge way above my pay grade. I just need to know the square footage of a room. And that's L times W equals square footage. But if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you'll have confidence. See, the Bible says also that he puts his angels, he gives them charge over you. Who do you think the knight standing at the door waiting for the enemy to stick their head in through that little trap? When they opened that door and he talked about that, I was just like, dude, I get it. You know, they'd stick their neck out. And he said, that's where we get it from. You can't see the knight standing behind the door. Well, I don't want to hide. I do. That's the best thing. It was one of the best things I excelled in was camouflage. Man, you couldn't find my fighting position because I had bushes. I'd go cut bushes down somewhere else and bring them and put them all around there, and then I'd just lay underneath the bushes. And in North Carolina, let me tell you what, that is actually dangerous. They have copperheads. They have water moccasins. And I'm laying in a swamp underneath a bush with my weapon waiting to ambush my enemy. God will lead. He sets the enemy with hooks. God hooked Pharaoh. He hooked Rome. He did that. He would snag them. Come on. Let's see your arrogance. Come on. You think you're going to burst through that door. You're not getting through the door, but here. A strong confidence, folks. You need to remember the 23rd Psalm. Yet, even as I walk through the valley of death, I heard somebody, it was actually a song, not the shadow of death, of death. I won't fear evil. You're going to walk through it. You are going to walk through it. You don't know what you just missed. When God delivers us from things, we don't have a clue what he thwarted. We just don't know. I look in my own life and I've got about half a dozen times I know I could have been dead. And that's the times I know. What about the times I don't? See, when God's got his angels looking out for you. They're the knight standing back there just waiting. Go ahead, you ugly little devil. Go ahead. Come on. Because you can't look up. To go through that door, you have to bow. And you have to come in through like this. And when you stick your head just clear of that, whoosh. And now a dead body is keeping everybody else out. They will have to pull him out and stick their head in. It's shooting fish in a barrel, in my opinion. Come on, keep coming. Come on, you demon. That's when we dwell in his secret place, folks. We bury ourselves in God. And it says, and we will become his children. And his children will have a place of refuge. You know, as I was back here, was watching, you know, Bella's the youngest right now. And she just started really taking off walking. But we have others that are stair-stepped up and at different stages. But you know what? Nothing changes from the love of a parent, from Bella to Morgan. Nothing. I know his heart, his father's heart. You mess with my daughter. And that's why he praises God for good son-in-laws. Not that my daughter's weak, don't get me wrong. I believe women can kick butt too. I read history for crying out loud. I mean, good, read your Bible. There's one woman, she drove a tent stake through the dude's head. Come on! David didn't do that. A woman did. And this was a notorious, they were after him. They wanted him dead. But the love of a father. See, God is that entire castle. He's where you get your sustenance. You go to the galley. He's where you get your rest. You go to your quarters. He's where you worship. You go to the chapel. And he's where you go to know each other. And you go into did they have a name for that room? We'll call it the realm of the knights. They had swords hanging on the wall like the knights would. He is all of that. He's where we go when we're scared. When the enemy comes in, the standard he has raised is get into the secret place and trust me. Don't run. By the way, here's one geographical flaw with Chateau La Roche. It's by the river at the bottom of the hill. Castles were built on top of the mountain for a reason. And the tower went up even higher than that so you could see above the trees and possibly see over the other mountain. You had warning that the enemy was coming. God knows the enemy's coming. Are you ready? Are we ready? Or are we going to just say, oh, you know, I'll just do whatever, you know, and I'll come running back? Yeah, you're going to be one of them idiot villagers who's way off doing his own thing, and the alarm has been going off to get back to the fortress. Keeping in mind, if you're doing your own thing, you're not in God. God's will is here for your life. When we decide we're going to do what we want, we leave God's will and we leave that secret place. He will still protect us what he can. But I can tell you right now, I know too many people who have died as a fool dies because they got out of the will of God and they started doing stuff they were not supposed to do. I've seen ministers lose their ministries because of that. I've seen businessmen lose it because they got wrapped up in other things. Don't get out of God's will. That's God's will is your secret place. You want to go down to the river to fish? He'll be with you. And you'll have those angels with you. He didn't leave us here helpless. We're not helpless little babes. We call upon our Father. Hey, Dad! Yo, Pop, I'm over here. Don't be afraid to call upon him when you need help. You know, I got a call from Jesse the other day. He said, hey, Pop, I got a question for you. Okay. I'm thinking, what kind of question can I help him with the Navy? You already know my personal opinion, but you know my Marine opinion. He asked me an electrical question. All right, I can handle that. And fortunately, it was within my scope of knowledge. Don't be afraid to cry out to God. Father, I'm scared. I remember that year that I went out to burn our trash behind the barn, and I'm going out there, and there's a pit bull just going at the stuff I'd already taken out. And I was like, shoot, go away. Well, he wanted whatever was in that trash bag, and he came after me. Being smart enough and not high on my own abilities, the trash bag I had went in the air, and I turned tail, Dad! After I think Dad may have hit his head on the hood of the car. I'm not 100% sure. He wasn't real happy because he had never heard me holler like that. And he's like, what? He come running across. And I turned around. The pit bull had left. I look like an idiot. I said, a pit bull was chasing me. Now, I will say this just so everybody puts their minds at ease. Pit bulls have to be treated mean to act mean. This guy was trained to fight, just so you know. That's why I ran. He was not a nice one. He had been abused. And so I learned to cry out to Daddy at 13. You know, 13. You know, I remember being 13. You guys remember being 13? Starting to feel my oats, you know, prancing around. Yeah, Dad, there ain't nothing you can teach me. I already know it all. Got to 18. There ain't nothing you can teach me. I still know it all. And I know more. About 25, right? Is that about where it was at? It started sinking in. I didn't know crap. Dad wasn't as dumb as I thought he was. Yeah, things change. We get that. But about 25, and that's what they say, that a male's brain is actually matured. Did you know that? At 25. You'll see it. I've seen it in my boys. Joshua was like, oh yeah, he was still there in the teen brain years, and then all of a sudden, once he hit 25, it was like lights came on and there was people home. Now I've got two more to go through. No. And I understand this, and so I don't get my panties in a wad anymore about it. They'll mature, and they'll realize, yep, that wasn't quite right. All right, let's stand. God has never asked us to put our faith in anything else. I should be able to rely on people, but you can't always. Sometimes people let you down. Maybe it was beyond their scope. Maybe you don't know what they're going through right then. And maybe they weren't the person you were supposed to reach out to. Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes here's what God does. We keep expecting angels to come in all the time, but if I'm at a point in my life where I'm just stuck, I'm frustrated, whatever. Well, God, yeah. I'm going to send Billy Graham back down to you and he's going to talk to you, brother. No. He's going to send Joe. A history teacher I wish I'd have had. He's going to send my brother. Or he's going to send Phil. Or he might send Morgan. You know what my job at that point is to? It's to humble myself and receive. You know, we look at the likes of MacArthur, the tank one, Patton. I could see his face. I could see the poster. We look at all these generals. Westmoreland, General Gray. These guys are nothing without their subordinates. Hey, this is what's happening. And that's why I'm concerned for our military now, because our commander-in-chief, well, no confidence. Next one down, no confidence. Secretary of Defense, no confidence. Secretary of the Navy, no confidence. They would just as soon let their people commit suicide as opposed to fixing the problems. See, the people on the ground are saying, hey, we got problems. Higher ups aren't listening because they won't humble themselves. Again, number one, in my opinion, the number one trait you will see for the Antichrist, arrogance. And don't think we're not seeing the pride movement. It's beyond the homosexual agenda. Everybody is becoming arrogant. We're Christians. Fly our flag high. No, there's the only flag I fly. I'm sorry. There's no such thing as a Christian nation. Right there, that's supposed to represent the Christian nation. That. And if we give that up, the other one don't mean diddly squat. Well, you know, it's got fringes. It's corporate. Yeah, that's one of the Q things. The pride of mankind is its downfall. Put your trust in God and you will not fall. Doesn't mean you're not going to get knocked around. Doesn't mean you're not going to feel a little scared. I mean, crying out. How many of you guys love roller coasters? Let me see it real quick. Some of you, I know you do. You love them, right? Roller coasters. Yeah. Okay. You remember the first time you rode your first big one? Click, 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 click. And you probably, if you were like me, you went and got in the first car. I loved the terror. Don't like the sick feeling. But I remember the first time I rode one of the big ones and I'm in the front car and I'm like, and you get over, and when you break over that top, it's not, what is it, about 86 degrees? And you're like, dear God, what did I do? Your first time, you're not screaming out of joy. But you fly down through there. You do all that. I lived. Do it again. Now, if you were with me, we were going over to the bushes. That's just all there was to it. We were getting in line for the bushes. That's the thrill. You know it's going to be fun, but you just haven't done it before. And here you go. So trust God. He's not going to get you sick on it. And you're going to look back and think, wow, wow. 21, 22, 20, it'll be 22 years. Yeah, will be. Oh, yeah. See, math is less and less becoming my strong suit. 21 years. It hasn't all been easy. And 99% of the time, we didn't know what we were doing. But we trusted in God. And all I can tell you, I'm not going to get up here and preach great, always preach great, eloquent words, but I will always tell you, turn to God. When you're scared, turn to God. When you don't know where to go, turn to God. And go to the secret place. Hang out for a little bit. Let him fight that battle, because that's what's happening. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord God, that you are our strong tower. You are our fortress, our refuge, Lord, and we will put our trust in you. Father, we are your children. Father, I know I have confidence in you, and you lead me and guide me. And even when I maybe take off down the wrong path, you call me back. You bring me back to where I'm supposed to be. Father, I pray that you help each and every one of us attain that, Lord, that we know that as we see, we know there's going to be attacks. We know, but we know that we have you as our fortress. You are defending us. You are advancing. Father, I thank you and praise you for what you're doing in each one of our lives. Father, I thank you that you're moving now in your people's midst. Father, you're giving them courage to rise up, courage to stand, courage to do what has to be done. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, I pray right now, first off, for all those who are out today because they're ill, Lord. I pray that you touch them, heal them. Lord God, I curse sickness and disease in Jesus' name, and I speak life. And Father, people that are just laying out to be lazy, light a fire under them, Father. Show them how important it is to stir their faith by being here. Lord, I thank you that you're moving in Jesus' name. Amen.